in America. So I have not since spoken to Deputy Minister. I'm not aware whether she'll be joining us or not. My apologies for that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. Here are the apologies. Are we accepting the apologies?
Chairperson, thank you for giving me the chance to speak. Number one, this meeting was postponed sometime before we went into recess. Can we have the reasons, number one, why it was postponed? And it was set up for today, some time ago by the committee, isn't it? Why are we only hearing about the apologies of the ministers now? I feel this is a very important meeting. It entails four quarterly reports of a year that is already passed, but with so many visits. And for the department at this point in time, and they know in what position they are, I feel that really we are not being taken seriously in this committee. And it's women's issues that are at stake. Chairperson, charity begins at home. And if our own house is not in order, I cannot see how we can ever break this scourge of violence, abuse, and whatever goes with it against our women. I really feel very disappointed that it's again a half delegation. And that makes me think, why could the meeting not go on the last time? Why could we not proceed with it? Seeing that again we have a half delegation from the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think the department has actually heard the concern. Can we then get an explanation as to the previous cancellation of the meeting? Although we did get an email, I got an email from the secretary, but I think it will also be appropriate for the department just to speak on that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm trying to recollect that the last meeting was supposed to be in July 24. At the time, Chairperson and honourable members, it was just unfortunate that there was a cabinet lekgotla that had started, I think, a day or two before. So Minister could not have been in the meeting because of that cabinet lekgotla that she was expected to attend. So she could not have been able to join us together with the Deputy Minister. And so that is why we wrote and advised the honourable members that there is that dilemma. That minister is expected to be at the cabinet lekgotla with the deputy minister. I think it is for that reason then that minister felt that she could not then also today not request for a postponement, because she had requested before she could not join us because of that other commitment. So it was for this reason that she felt that at least this time around
we should continue. Thank you.
Thank you for that explanation, DG, but I think your explanation contradicts the email that we received. But we are not going to waste time on this. We are going to note our concern on this matter, because I think the email that was received was that the minister was invited urgently, somewhere. So we are really going to note our concern on this. But however, as the honourable member had already indicated, that we've got four quarterly reports, you know, that we have to look at. Let me also suggest that to members that we move on without really deliberating on this matter. I'm not going to allow any hands, because I've already said that Honorable Kekana, is it a burning issue really?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Chair, I just thought now that it has been mentioned under this item, we should quickly, before we pass, also acknowledge and congratulate the tennis player. I hear he's been amputated 2 feet, one head. He's only using one head, and he wanted out. I think we should, as a committee of people with disability, also extend our congratulations and well wishes. Maybe clap hands if you don't mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Members, can we then proceed with the business of the day with the concerns that have been noted? Today we are going to be getting that briefing from the department. I would like us to approach this in this way. We will request the DG just to give an overview. And thereafter, we will ask we will ask the DDG from the WEG to just to give us a summary. And also from the persons with disability, and also from the rights of children. Just to give us a summary, because I don't think we are going to have enough time to engage, and I think what is important is for the members to engage with the department, because we have our notes that we had the last time on the report. Can we then proceed in that fashion? Over to you, the DG.
Sorry, thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. When we last came to present to the Portfolio Committee the four quarters of the 2012-2013 financial year in terms of the performance information, Chair and members would recall that we could only go through Program 1 because we were presenting each quarter. And a concern was raised strongly by members that there were too many documents that they were sitting with, and that they then had to undertake a laborious exercise of putting all the quarters next to each other. And we then undertook that we were going to consolidate the information. We ran out of time after the presentation by Program 1. And then we undertook that we would consolidate the information into one slide reflecting all the four quarters, and then we would resubmit to the Portfolio Committee, so that then when next we come to present, members would at least have some ease of reference in terms of the various four quarters. At the time when we presented the information was as we had reported, which had subsequently been audited. What we are doing this year, Chairperson, going forward, apologies, Chairperson, for that. I have not requested them to distribute, but I think they took the initiative to distribute. I will talk about what is being distributed. Chairperson, what we are going to do going forward, as you are aware, most of us are fairly new in the department, but what we are going to do going forward is to make sure that as soon as the quarter, each quarter has been finalized, we then report internally to ourselves and consider the performance of the department, and thereafter we present to the minister at the X committee. But what we had undertaken to do going forward is to ensure that the information is audited. Chairperson and members would know now that we had just had an internal audit unit capacitated in the department. We have appointed an internal auditor, and it is best practice for the information to be audited, verified, so that when we present it to the audit committee and to the minister and to the portfolio committee, we're presenting an information that has been audited internally. So that's what we're going to be doing going forward. And also when we report to the National Treasury, we'll also report information that has been properly verified and audited. So this information that we will be presenting to you is information that we had sent through. But also we would like to let members know, as members are aware, that this financial year has since been audited by the Auditor General. By the 31st of July, the information was audited, and we are finalizing the development of the annual report now, which we will be tabling in terms of our legislation and prescripts to Parliament by the end of this month, and then we will come and present to the Portfolio Committee the audited information on both our performance information as well as our financial information. As members are aware, the performance information, though audited by the Auditor General, does not necessarily give an audit opinion on it. However, they do pick up, audit it, and feedback to us in terms of where we need to strengthen. But I also need to hasten and add, Chairperson and Honourable Members, that the performance information for the 2012-2013 financial year, which we will present to you in terms of the audited, has not been as smart as it should have been in terms of its presentation or its development. However, we have since improved, Chairperson and Honourable Members, and we are following the strictly the SMART principles, because we want to perform as if the Auditor General would audit and give an opinion, so that at the time when the AG decides to give an opinion on performance information as well, we are ready to have an unqualified and better a clean audit. Chairperson, I see that we're experiencing challenges in terms of the technology, but we are ready to get the DDG for Women Empowerment and Gender Equality, Ms. Siabi, to present to the Portfolio Committee the information. I will be guided by you, Chair, in terms of whether we get the IT to come or we look at the hard copies for presentation purposes. Thank you, Chair.
I think whilst the IT is being attended to, can we proceed? Members, can I request that we note down our comments, questions for on the overview, because I think maybe some of you might want to comment. But can we immediately proceed then to other reports or summary reports, so that we can actually get enough time on our side to engage.
Is the last copy to receive the very last copy. It's the same as the one that we worked on the last in July.
Which one did you
mean? The difference in the copy.
Okay. I think we should look at the recent same copies, and our questions then will come thereafter to comment on all those the ones that we recently have, and maybe the information that was that we want to engage with. Okay. Didn't you distribute?
I did.
Okay. Members not bring their copies.
We have them, Chair. The one that they said the 27th of June.
Yeah. Do we have them, Maureen?
No, I have both.
You have them, okay. Who doesn't have? Do you have them? I think. Do you have? Oh, okay. Let's proceed then. Which one comes first?
Thank you, Chair. Should we start with the children? Okay, we'll start with the children.
Thank you, Chair. Program 2, Women Empowerment and Gender Equality. Oh, yes. Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Honourable Members. I'm going to present the summary of the performance of Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program 2. I will go just indicate the performance indicator and indicate how we have fared throughout the year. The first indicator that we were expected to deliver on was the workshopping of national and provincial departments on national policies. In regard to this KPI, we didn't do well. Most of the quarters it was partially, and mainly because of the response and attendance of the departments that we invited to the session. But we did have workshops on the national policy, on the wage bill, and in some cases we also presented the traditional court bill. The second performance indicator was on workshopping departments on the gender mainstreaming. On this performance indicator, we have started with drafting the strategy before we did the workshop, and proceeded with the internal drafting of a mainstreaming framework to inform the gender strategy. And by the end of the year, we had developed an integrated mainstreaming strategy, which included the three sectors. The third performance indicator was on the new growth path. On this performance indicator, we had a partial performance throughout the year. In the first quarter, that was when the new growth path and the jobs fund were initiated, and therefore we didn't do much in that quarter. But throughout the year, we engaged the relevant departments on the new growth path. The next performance indicator was on rural women programs. We did a number of engagement with rural women in terms of economic empowerment, in terms of raising awareness on opportunities, in terms of assisting women in forming cooperatives and getting assistance from IDC and CEDAM. So we did fairly well in terms of this performance indicator. The next one was on the number of advocacy campaigns. We did well with regard to this performance indicator, where we convened the International Women's Day in March. We also convened the Women's Month. We also convened the 16 days in the third quarter. Yes, on the first quarter, we had engagement with women, and mainly we looked at the traditional court bill as well as on the work empowerment issues with the IDC and GTI. the third quarter, that's where we did women's empowerment, Women's Day, Women's Month and Women's Day. The third quarter, that's where we convened the 16 days on the 25th as well as the 10th of December. And on the fourth quarter, that's where we convened the International Women's Day in March. The next performance indicator was on establishing database that we were to monitor with regard to involvement of women. We did fairly well with that because we managed to compile a number of solicited information from stakeholders and compile a number of database like on women who sit on CETA boards, women in the mining sector, women in cooperatives, mining and tourism. The next performance indicator was on monitoring national departments. We did we started with developing an MNE or a monitoring and evaluation strategy, and that was the main focus, and we have not done very well because the focus was supposed to be on MNE departments, but we needed to have a monitoring evaluation strategy first, which we have since developed. We also did the gender audit in provinces. The gender audits were done in three provinces and one could not be done. And subsequently, we had expected to have implementation plans from provinces that were audited so that we monitor the implementation, but that did not happen because we didn't have the implementation plans from provinces, and therefore we didn't do very well with this performance indicator. The next indicator was monitoring visits to province, focusing mainly on women-led businesses. And we did a number of visits across the country, and we have a report in this regard. The next indicator was on reports for compliance on regional and international obligations and presentation of such reports to cabinets and stakeholders. We did well with regard to this performance indicator. A number of reports were compiled. We are also supposed to do the performance indicator on compliance nationally, where we had thought we would do impact of infrastructure, for example, representation of women in decision-making, economic empowerment, participation of women, but unfortunately we could not deliver on that performance indicator. We did the next performance indicator was on capacity building and institutional support, and with regards to that performance indicator, we did well throughout the quarters, quarter 1 to 4, and this is where we facilitated provinces and departments access to gender mainstreaming training and also supporting provinces in terms of institutionalization of gender mainstreaming. We also, in the next performance indicator, facilitated the mainstreaming of the gender strategy in the public service, and this is where we were involved in where we were called by provinces in supporting them in terms of what gender mainstreaming and institutionalization of gender mainstreaming would request. So we did perform 50-50, not very well. The first two quarters was special achievement, and the last quarter, that's where we had a better performance. We also, we had to also develop an institutional framework, which we have since done in implemented accordingly across the quarters. We also had to, as a key performance indicator, to convene gender machineries, which we did, except in the last quarter. Um, However, in the last quarter, we did have a joint session with the municipalities, which we had also regarded as a missionary convened. The next performance indicator was institutional support and capacity building to meet international and regional obligations. This is a project or an activity where we engage stakeholders in terms of, for example, getting women to be involved in projects like the Green Economy Project, and we have done a number of activities there, and we performed well with regard to that performance indicator throughout the year. The last performance indicator in wages was the integrated institutional mechanism for empowerment of young women. And this is where we have the TechnoGirl project, and we did well with regard to that performance indicator. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then proceed to the other branch?
Thank you, Chair. I will present on the children's rights and responsibilities. My name is Nzoli Sitoni.
You should be aware of the time.
Thanks, Chair.
Not more than 10 minutes.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The first one, Chair, was on the first indicator, the National Plan of Action for Children. This has been performed quite well, Chair, that it was finally approved by Cabinet. So we have a concluded document now. And the next one, Chair, is the integration of mainstreaming strategy into policies and into policies and government processes facilitators. We have done quite well, Chair, here in terms of this process, and we have a final draft which the department has decided that we would consolidate as a mainstream framework, which I'm sure DG will speak on the documents that she has just handed out. And the next one is on sanitary dignity campaign. Our approach here, Chair, was to make sure that these are not spaza shops here and there, but that as a department we make sure that the sanitary dignity pads are benefiting the children that really deserve it, and we're able to pull therefore the departments to work together and making sure that the manufacturing will start happening in South Africa. And we have a report in this regard. And the next one to that, Chair, is social campaigns. These include the access to education for all children, which it's a campaign that we work with Department of Education. And this was taken up by various provinces, and we did Gauteng and Limpopo in this regard, and there is a report to that effect. The next one is child participation and self-advocacy strengthened. This has to do with us making sure that children are given the opportunity to participate. This is about the Nelson Mandela Children's Parliament, which was held in Mpumalanga during this reporting period, and it's a program or an event that is gaining momentum, and provinces are fairly supporting it. The next one, Chair, is children's rights monitoring and evaluation strategy available. And in the same vein, Chair, we have worked with monitoring institutions in terms of DPME to get the necessary support. We've also worked with UNICEF so that we make sure that whatever indicators that will be there
are indicators that are embraced by all. We have also done fairly well in this regard, Chair. Then the next one is indicators for ECD reviewed and monitored. There is a strong emphasis on the part of the Department of Social Development to ensure that issues that have to do with early childhood development are properly nurtured, and that we had participated in the conference that the Department of Social Development has done, and also influence the ECG indicators into the main document, and we're part of the task team that was put up after the conference, and this is fairly achieving what we plan to do in terms of making sure that at the end of the day, the Department of Social Development will take the responsibility with regards to this area. The next one, Chair, is with regards to the United Nations Children's Rights Convention on the Rights of the Child, the periodical reports, and it's an area where we have been lagging behind, so we had to combine the 2002-2007 reports. And now we have concluded the 2013 report, and it's for this financial year ready to be considered by Cabinet, so that we're able to publish a status report on children with regards to that. And the next one, Chair, indicators for monitoring violence against children develop. Chair, you'll recall that in this regard we had developed a study on violence, and during this period there was a study on child killings, and it was felt that there needs to be a lot of work that needs to be done in this area, and therefore there has to be some kind of a desktop that needs to be done to beef up the report, and we work with the Department of Social Development, the Department of Basic Education, SABS, and Correctional Service in working on this one. And this is kind of fairly work in progress with regards to us producing the report. The next one, Chair, quickly, strengthening machineries on all levels of government. We have achieved what we set out to do, and there was an issue in terms of making sure that the SALGA structures are brought on board with regards to these machineries, and the fourth quarter was fairly successful in addressing that. We're meeting with all of those stakeholders that makes up the SALGA, and also the children's and gender machineries. The last one, Chair, is on institutional framework developed. As I said, same with the mainstreaming area one. We also hear, as my colleague has reported, that with the consolidated institutional framework, which would guide the department or guide the departments that we're going to work with on how we look at institutional mechanism. That's the last one, Chair. Thank you. I'm not sure whether I should proceed, Chair, for the disability one. Okay, thank you, Chair. The first one, Chair, here is the issue around the National Disability Policy. We have not achieved in this area, Chair. We have a draft. Chair will recall that we've got the National Integrated National Disability Strategy, which is a policy that Cabinet says it must be reviewed. And in doing so, we worked out a disability draft National Disability Policy, which we realized that we needed to go through the RIA process. So we are in that process now, Chair. Hence, you will find out that midway that we're not able to achieve this because we wanted to make sure that the policy is properly developed with regards to those government processes. The next one, Chair, is the National Disability Awareness Campaign Coordinated. Chair will recall that we have a Disability Month in November, and these are the things that we have a build-up activities to the National Disability International Persons of Disabled International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and in this regard, in December, which is quarter three, we're able to get the president for the first time in Mpumalanga to engage disabled people. And this was a platform where also disabled writers were exposed and the president was able to take us. There is a report which the president's program is called Siyahlola, that is dealing with it, that looks at what came out of the Siyahlola, the International Day, and what are those commitments that must be addressed by various departments, and we're in that stage now. So that in the next one, which is going to be in East London, we're able to report back on what transpired on the previous one. And the next one, Chair, is on the Universal Access Strategy approved. We had a suggestion from the GNA cluster that we need to first look at certain departments, for instance, Department of Public Works and the Department of Transport, and in developing the, in piloting this approach. And this was done, and was a committee that was set in place. There's been some problem, so we have not achieved this satisfactory chair. So it's work in progress, and that this area is going to be included in the policy as we do the policy. The next one, Chair, is participation by disability sector in key sector policy development processes and government programs. We wanted to look at inclusive education strategies, also the review of the funding model for special schools. This we have not been able to achieve, Chair. Also, the next one was the statement made by the South African delegation to the Conference of State Parties. We were able to make sure that the South Africa is properly presented, and there were statements that were presented by the minister in this regard. The next one, Chair, is number of reports on access to education for children and young people with disabilities. This was also not achieved, Chair, and this is the work that we are trying to do, continue doing it this financial year. And the next one is the number of monitoring and evaluation reports on access to employment, same as this one, Chair. This was also not achieved. This work has been the terms of reference and trying to get the service provider that would do this work for us is underway. Same as the next one, which is the number of reports on participation by people with disabilities on rural development. It's a similar work that we would want to do so that it also informs the policy that we are developing. The next one, Chair, is on disability consideration integrated into all government MNE systems. We have not achieved this, Chair. I think we have this target was incorrectly phrased, so that's why this is mentioned, is that we're not so smart in phrasing this indicator. The next one, Chair, is the reporting requirements compiled, which is the UNCRC report. We have concluded this report, but we're not able to deposit it, Chair, to the United Nations because there's a common court document that must go with this report, which the children have now consolidated, so we're hoping that we'll be able now to have a published report for disability also. The next one, Chair, is an intervention model to accelerate access to education for children and young people with disabilities. This has been achieved, Chair. And then the next one is two institutional support interventions to facilitate equal access to employment and economic empowerment opportunities for people with disabilities. This has been partially achieved. We had thought that we will use the legacy project that was decided by Disabled Peoples International, which the international conference that was held in KZN, but the site was identified, but it happened that the province has decided to allocate the venue to displaced disabled people that were staying in another venue that is being renovated. So it has stalled us from concluding in this regard. The next one is strategy for mainstreaming of disability consideration in integrated public service delivery coordinated. This has to do with the work that we thought that we'll do with Palama, but we realized that Palama is actually not ready to provide the training that we thought they could do to provinces, which is appropriate training on disability, and we're still looking at ways of how we would shape this. This is one of those ones that we think were not smart for us. Then we have got the institutional framework developed the same way, Chair. This has been achieved because this has been a joint project between the three programs, which is the one that was presented to the portfolio committee when you were in Manhattan Hotel. That's it, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the summaries that you have given to us, and also the briefing by the DG on the, you know, overview. What I could pick up from the DG's briefing is the improvement in reporting mechanisms. But I just want the DG also to clarify as to when they report to the Auditor General, because I think those are the same reports that the committee would really want to see. We I don't think we're getting different reports to those that are being reported to the Auditor General. And is that happening? Is it happening that the same report that, because I think the Auditor General's wish is to get monthly reports. And if that is happening, or even the quarterly reports, if it is that happening, why is there a delay in us getting there? Because it is the same report that we should be getting that is being given to the Auditor General. And then on the issue of wage, you reported that you talked about the accessibility to the database. How do we access that as this committee? Women in construction, women in tourism, women co-ops. Because that is the information that we really never had at our disposal. And how are you monitoring that database? I will come back. Let me give to members to raise a question and also speak to the Techno Girls as to what is your role in that Techno Girls. What is the role of, you know, of the department? And let me then allow members to Honorable Polse, Honorable Kekana, Honorable Fandamerve, and Honorable Kuni. Honorable Musiman, and Honorable Lamula, and Honorable Mori, in that order, please.
I want to know, when does the department plan to present final versions of the following documents to the portfolio committee by tabling it in parliament, like the National Plan of Action for Children, Institutional Framework Report? It's a lot more, but I'll stop at this too.
On the key performance indicator, DG, were you saying interdepartmental, one key performance indicator is to see the different departments, how they are performing about women, children, and disability. And that key performance indicator, you think you did well. Maybe my understanding is not the same as yours. The report we're getting from this department was that a lot of them have a long, long way to go about implementing policies of women, children, and disability. We know in different departments they have to do different things, education to educate, health to treat, and many others. Now, if, and a lot of them actually, some of them didn't even bother to give reports. So if the reports that we're getting from them are saying they are not doing well, and some don't even report, I can't understand how you say your key performance indicator, you have done well with department. Can you just explain how you did well when the departments are not doing well themselves?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the department. You know, Chairperson, I'm not going to really focus in details on the presentation because I think, you know, it's just, it remains so much information, and there are so many questions. And I really do think the way we are dealing with these quarterly report doesn't actually leave us or doesn't empower us to hold this department to account. But I think that's exactly why we've been asking for so many times for these monthly reports that are succinct with time frames so that we are able to judge for ourselves whether things are going right or wrong. But just to say that I think when one looks at the quarter one to quarter four reports, there are progress in some instances, and we've got to commend the department for that, and in some instances there aren't. But I wanted to ask the DG, just for clarity, Chairperson, you mentioned the AG, but what I got from the DG, I'm not sure if I'm correct, so I'm just asking for clarity. Did the DG say that the targets were not as smart as they should have been, and therefore I want to know whether we are expecting a worse audit opinion this time around or not, because I think then we also need to know whether the turnaround strategy has been successful or not. And it brings me to the question of where we, in what phase are we currently in the turnaround strategy, if you can give me an update on that. Also, I think the issues that you have highlighted in the past with regard to your turnaround strategy is the lack of funding and that you needed to do a skills audit to ensure that the strategy is successful, and I think we need to get an update on that as well. Also with the issue of smart targets, I want to just touch on the issue that when we had previously received, and we raised it very sharply in the last meeting before we had anticipated for you to come to us. We got together as a group, we had gone through the documents, and there was a change or adjustment in the program objectives and targets. In some instances, for example, you gave us a number of targets, and when you got the second document, those had changed. Also, the achievements had changed. And we had raised it very sharply because we thought either this is misleading Parliament or it's misleading information, and we needed to get clarity on that. I also wanted to know, currently, where are we standing with the wedgie bill? Are we expecting it to come to Parliament anytime soon, or is it something that's going to fall by the wayside? The National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, when we last saw you, I think by this time around now, you would have lobbied for funding. You would have appointed a CFO or CEO, and we just wanted to get an update on that. When we had our March visit to your offices, I heard in the presentation on the children's rights, we spoke about the issue of ensuring education for all children. In one of the discussions that we had, you said that at our workshop, you said that the information about children, it said the department acknowledged the information on the number of children with disabilities not attending school is still lacking. And that was in March. Can I just hear whether anything has been done in this regard? And Chairperson, I know there's so many questions, so I'll just quickly ask one or two extra ones. Last time, the department also indicated that you had not yet held a workshop in the PFMA and was still intent on doing so. Can we get an update on that? And then lastly, just a question of clarity. Most of your projects seem to be focused on KwaZulu-Natal, but I don't think KwaZulu-Natal is the poorest province or has the most problems. I tend to only see programs that focus on KwaZulu-Natal and Free State, whether we could have an indication of projects in other provinces as well. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation from the department. Chairperson, mine is under wage. I just want to find out from the department that how does the department capture the outcomes of the campaign? And also, what are the markers of success? And secondly, I would like to find out from the department that how much did they spend for the campaign? And also, I would like to go to the children's rights and people with disabilities. The very same concerns which I would like to find out from the department is what are also the outcomes of the campaign for the EDs? And also, how much did they spend for those campaigns? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So many questions, so many unanswered ones we'll have again. I don't even know where to start because I've been covered partially. But my first question is, and I am disappointed in this department. I'm extremely disappointed in this department, the way they're operating the first year, and I'm looking for outcomes and I cannot find the outcomes of what was implemented or achievements. Truly, I cannot agree that I feel satisfied with the achievements of this department. It's 5 years down the line, and we must remember that we spent millions. The last time when I calculated it was something like plus minus 500 million. That was, if I'm correct, it was besides the allocation of the budget for the 13-14 year. That's a lot of money. And anyone that invests money like that needs to have some interest plowed back or dividends, and we're not getting it from this department. I don't know if we're taken serious, if we're really taken serious, if this department is really want to improve. I really don't know. I'm very skeptical about it. You know, the department, in some of the slides that I viewed, there was an achievement of 14% of its performance indicators for 2012, the financial year in relation to the Children's Rights and Responsibilities Program. And that was based on the information provided in the first PowerPoint presentation. Now we are already with the third one. The position has changed has now changed to 68%, and yet we hear that this was not achieved. Partially achieved is at least now taken out of the system or out of the documents. It was not achieved, it was achieved. So I still don't know what this department really wants to tell us today. It's 5 years down the line, and truly this department has not done well. Starting off, if I can remember very well, the very first time they said it was first year was spent on policy, second year was spent on human resources, third year was spent on IT, so I don't know really what it was spent on and the and the budget was really, was it wasted? Was it really spent on these issues that was brought to us and told to us? Or what was it spent on? My question is, and I'm still asking for it, and this is for the very last time, the list of donors, a detailed list of donors for this department. And I would like to have a detailed explanation on how that money was spent. I am aware of the donors, and that is why I'm asking for it each and every single time. Why can we not have a detailed list of donors and how the money was spent? I saw the money of UNICEF. All targets were reached there. But money coming from Treasury, targets were not reached. How come? How come? Those are the monies given to us by taxpayers, and we must also be able to tell taxpayers, this is how your money was spent. We must be able to tell them. The 19 million that was given to this department in the 2012-2013 budget, we still don't know how it was spent. That was also a question that came up in this committee several times. We still do not know how it was spent. Can we now have a detailed explanation of how that money was spent? We need to know. And it is our right to know. Number of employees in this department. I'd like to know. How many people are employed in this department? How many are employed in each program? And what is the total cost of the employees in those programs? I'd like to know. We also need to make our figures to see if we are balancing here. And then consultants. Somewhere along the line, I picked up consultants that were used. My question is, were there any consultants working with the department? For what reason or purpose were they used? And what was the total amount spent on these consultants? My next question is, some of my questions have been asked, were any temporary workers taken up in the department? For what reason and in which program? And what was the outcome? Because when you take on temps or when you employ anybody, then there must be a valid reason why and there must be an outcome to be achieved. On the PFMA and the AG's implementation, I don't know if that was implemented. And then, you know, it's disappointing to see that even this department is not serious about disabled people. Access to employment for people with disabilities. Every single day we have complaints on why can I not as a disabled person be employed somewhere in a department? Why am I lacking? Why am I put my application out? Why is it put aside? Access for children with disabilities. I was told that we have about 400,000 children with disabilities and 200,000 reside in the Western Cape. I'm still waiting to have the figures of where these children are so that we can follow up as a committee. I'll stop there for a while. Thank you. And then I'm very grateful to hear that the internal audit committee was now appointed. And I really suggest to you that the department give us a regular update on how this committee is performing.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think on the issue of donor, it is actually very, very critical. I also want to add my voice to say exactly how much did the department receive. In the first presentation, we learned of 788,000, and then now with the latest PowerPoint is 1.2 million. So could the department give us the details, you know, a detailed document in terms of how much did they receive from whoever and where was it used, whether wage, children, or disability. And then in terms of all those outstanding and incomplete indicators, do you have any plan in terms of how are you going to deal with it, and do you have budget in terms of funding to complete those projects? And then when you look at your disability PowerPoint presentation, on the, I think it's the first output, the indicator national disability policy published.
On quota 3 you did not achieve, and it states that you still needed to meet with the cabinet to talk about real impact assessment, a process finalization of proposal to support foundation for external funding, additional human resources. I think this has been waiting for long, if I'm not mistaken. Can you please give us a report in terms of what exactly is happening in terms of the Sport Foundation? Are they willing to participate and play a role or not? Because I believe if not, you need to move on and look for other sponsors. And then on your budget versus expenditure, slide 15 on the very disability. I don't know, I would like you to unpack the slide where you talk about the budget versus the expenditure. It looks like you have enough budget to spend so little. If you can just unpack that, I mean, and then at the same time you can't afford certain indicators, but on the other hand you're not spending somewhere. Maybe explain it to me so that I understand, because I'm trying to link that to page 16, where you at least numerically explain as well to say quarter one you had 7251, you only spent 1283. I mean, really, it's extreme understanding. I think that's this for now, Chairperson. I've got so many questions, but I'm clouded. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the report, the explanation. It seems maybe we are wasting time here, because we seem to be laughing stock. When other members are talking, your members are laughing at us. That's not right. I'm very much concerned about the money, the financial part of it, like the donor funding and what has been the expenditure. And seeing that 2013 and 2012, it's almost over. How are you going to complete the outstanding performance indicator? Because it's over. And seeing that your department is not that fully staffed, can you explain to us, are you using consultants and what are the expenditures and the details? And we add more voice to the donors. Can we have a detailed report on the donors? Thank you, Chester.
I'm looking at a brand of disabilities. People with disabilities. Children's rights and people with disabilities. We're almost in the targets. You see, partial, none, people with disabilities. But I see this. None, as if there was nothing done on this aspect. Now I would like to know, was there any budget from the overall budget? What amount of budget from the overall budget of the department? How much was allocated to the section of people with disabilities? Because it seems as if none, suspended. I don't actually know. This is someone is looking somewhere in the store for a needle. She can't find. So I just want to know, is there any particular amount of money that was allocated as far as the issues of people with disability is concerned? And then the second one, with regard to children's rights program, there is where you think there are cities and communities that are child-friendly. But when you look at the whole thing, there are no performance indicators. You skipped the performance indicators. So we'd like to see that reached to these cities and communities that are friendly to the children. With regard to the program on women, the women's program, I can't find indicators on Secretariat for National Council on GBV. Why did you skip this? In fact, I didn't find anything coming out from the National Council on GBV. No, so can you find out why is the National Council, nothing is written on the National Council and nothing is said about the Secretariat, because in the last time I remember, we're talking of beefing up the National Council with the Secretariat so that it can be able to function, more so when the gender-based violence was so rife amongst women, children, and the Asians. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. In your responding, can you also tell us, you know, with regards to persons with disabilities, you mentioned that you are busy looking at the universal access strategy to be finalized. When is that going to be finalized? And still on under, you know, persons with disabilities, you said that you have not finalized the national disability policy for the country. And I think during the interaction, we also noted that, you know, during the public hearing, by when will that be finalized? And also, you spoke about state party conference, which is important. But it's not just about making statements, you know. What about the implementation, implementing the resolutions? How have you ensured that those resolutions are being implemented? And then with regards to child rights, can you tell the committee about the monitoring and evaluation instruments, listing all the indicators? We can really appreciate if we can get a copy of that. Although I know that we often ask for copies of, you know, like for instance, what is that memorandum, the MOUs. To date, you have not really received, you know, those copies. And then with regards to, you know, the National Program of Action on Children, are all government and provincial departments, municipalities, aware of that?
Mm.
And then also tell us what was the outcome of the child rights machinery meeting that you held.
Mm.
Provide the members, you know, with a list of that.
Okay.
But I think what is crucial from the department is also to explain the question that was asked as to why did the information change, because yours was just to consolidate, you know, the documents. But if you can also take us through as to why now the change of some of the information, you know, which actually does not relate to the previous, you know, information that we got from you. Member,
you know, it's so amazing. If my memory serves me well, taking into consideration what some of members have highlighted in terms of the staff, last year, this committee raised some concerns and a proposal to the department that the department must provide the committee with a detailed report concerning governance, particularly the HRS, where it will indicate that
The department has got so many staff, those who have resigned, and also the report of what would you call it, those who are resigning. What can be the, you know, the whole information as it is. I am so amazed even if at this moment the committee is not yet provided with that information. Can the department please tell us what went wrong? What was the problem? Thank you.
Chair, just a follow-up on what the previous member said.
Mine is also on the department assuring the committee that if the exact was either the Fluxman report or the exit interviews that were conducted, and that these would be analyzed and the findings to be made available to this committee. That was the promise by this committee. Nothing, nothing whatsoever that was promised. The skills audit, was that done? Can we have a copy of that too? The absenteeism rate. Why do we still not have a copy of that, of the absenteeism rate? Occupational Health and Safety Committee was established. What was the outcomes of that? Can they tell us anything about that, of the Occupational Health and Safety Committee? And then the exit interviews. And Chair, if this department cannot keep to what they promised, this committee, I'm not here tomorrow for my time to be wasted. I can go out into the field and assist all those that need assistance from this committee so badly. We cannot proceed, my sweetheart. Not in the manner that we are doing it now. There is not a single thing that I pick up in my book, and this book tells me everything. It even gives me the date that I have received from this committee coming from this department. We cannot allow this to happen any further. As women, we are also neglecting our women. We are definitely not carrying their interests through. As parliamentarians, as women of different political parties, as members of this committee, being women, we are definitely not doing justice to our women. And that is why we're here. That's how I understand it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, you know, most of my questions were asked by members. I'm not going to ask questions, but I think I must say something. This department is taking this committee for a ride. And, you know, it's very difficult for me to ask questions that I ask, I don't know how many years ago. I still ask the same questions that we were asking all those years. It's not, we didn't get any answers. Mine is only to say, Chairperson, in this meeting today, each department must give us time frame in answering our questions. They must give us time frame to say, if the target is not achieved, when and who and where is this target going to be achieved? And what is this partial achieved? And, you know, if it's not achieved, it's not achieved. If it's achieved, it's achieved. Let us stay away from this partial achieved, because they must even explain what is the meaning of partial achieved. Chairperson, it's difficult, really, man. I'm tired. I am tired, Chair. I don't want to ask questions. I don't want to waste time. Department is wasting this committee's time. We are going to ask questions until we go out 2014, and then 2014 to 2019, we'll be asking same questions. Thanks, Chair.
If we are still here,
and I know that, but those that are coming behind me will still be asking the same questions. Thanks, Chair.
Time frame.
Thank you, Chair. I think mine also is a follow-up, which I'm really disappointed, and it's not even clear. But I just wanted to, it's a follow-up from Maura's question, actually. It's about the donor funding. I just want to know this 1,394,571, which was received for various from various donors actually, for a range of activities. And it must be noted that some of the funding there appears to be a duplication. Why this duplication part of it? I don't really understand that. For example, on slide 22 of the WAGI program presentation, there is an amount of 101,517 received from the UNFPA for the development and finalization of the department's integrated M&E framework. This amount and description is also reflected in the donor funding, in the child's right program presentation. I'm just confused. Is this the same amount reflected? What's really going on here? I just need clarity. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, Chairperson, thank you very much. I think most of the questions have been answered, but my first question is... Yes, actually a comment, more especially on the first presentation on wage. I think the presentation also is not smart. You look at page 4, your KPI is social campaigns such as your dignity, sanitary dignity campaign. But when you look on target on quarter 1 and quarter 2, it's something else. When you go to quarter 3, it tells you the progress done on sanitary dignity campaign. I think we must refine our documents before we distribute them to the committee. And second point is the issue of the vacancy rate in all the programs, because it seems as if you are underspending in most of your programs, in all the programs actually, in terms of the employees within your department. So I just want to check the vacancy rate within the department. And there was a performance indicator some time back regarding the audit of special schools. How far are you with regard to that program? The other one, the last one is the with regard to wage program. The program was allocated a budget of 21 million and had an expenditure of 18 million as at 31st of March 2013. In the presentation provided, the department does not indicate its program budget separate from the transfer payment to the CGE, the Commission for Gender Equality. And this makes us difficult to have the actual expenditure. Can I get an explanation thereof? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Let me first apologize for the conduct of staff which was raised by honorable member. I don't think we mean to be disrespectful. I will take it up with staff.
We don't hear you.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about that. I was apologizing to the honorable member on the conduct of staff members that was raised, that we are not taking members seriously and we are laughing as members are talking. I will take it up with my staff. My apologies for that. Also, Chair, I'd like to also indicate that we will put time frames in terms of supplying the committee with the information that they are looking for going forward. I have requested my team to develop documents and provide the committee with a document. Especially when we say, for instance, that we have done a national action plan on children and it has been approved, so that we provide members with those documents. When we report here and say this thing has been approved, we must then have as an annexure to our report the approved document. So when I say that we are turning around and doing things differently, those are some of the measures that we will be putting in place. As a start, Chairperson, I have given members
a bulky document. This document contains all the country reports that have been submitted. Country report on the status of women, UNCSW, the country report on the rights of people with disabilities, the country reports, all three country reports that we have developed on the UNCRC. So for instance, this, and it, I've also got a disk. I would be, all the documents will also be in a disk so that if members would like to have them electronically, they can also do that. So that's the start. The other documents that are coming through Chavez are the documents that relate to, which will be, I think they will be couriered today so that they are submitted to members. All the strategies that we're talking about, the integrated mainstreaming strategy, which were presented to members in March, the MNE strategy, the advocacy strategy, the institutional support strategy, so that those members have got them and branded in the branding of the department. So that those documents, this is just copies of the documents that will be submitted, which will have all the strategies. The next set of documents that members will receive are the documents that will have all the reports that we are talking about. We have done a report on the sanitary dignity strategy that will be submitted. The report is going to be part of the documentation. The gender responsive budgeting is going to be part of the information in the documentation. The survey that has been conducted on special schools is going to be part of the information that will be provided. The study on the violence against children, just to name but a few, I have requested the team to bind those documents and make them available so that we do not come here again and get members saying this department is not taking us seriously. It's not providing us with the information that we are looking for. I've taken note of the information that has been requested in terms of the exit interviews and the analysis thereof. DG Jim Zange will work on that. I have seen, I must confess here, I've seen that document. I've seen it, the analysis, although some people don't do exit interviews, and you cannot force them if they don't do exit interviews. There's a document that has been developed for all the people that have left and the exit interviews that were conducted, and some people have refused to go to do any exit interviews, and those that have been done. So we will submit that information to members. We'll respond in terms of the skills audit, they will respond on that. So what I wanted to say first and foremost, Chairperson and other members, is that we are turning around and we will be providing members and with information as we have undertaken to do so. This is the start of that. And I really must indicate to members that we do not take you seriously. We do take you seriously. And we understand your role in terms of exercising the oversight on what we are doing. Chairperson, I will answer some of the questions and I will get my colleagues to answer some of the questions. When I started, I said that going forward, we are going to do things the right way and differently and for the better. The National Treasury expects of us to submit quarterly reports 60 days after the end of a quarter. After the end of June 2013, by the end of August 2013, we were expected to have submitted to the National Treasury a quarterly report, performance report, which should be audited so that we don't present a report that does not have verification. If you say in quarter one, I would have consulted on this strategy, there must be proof that we have consulted on the strategy. There must be
source documents that verify what you are indicating in that particular report. Hence, when we come and present the first quarter report, you will see that in some instances, although we have done some draft documents, because they have not been approved, then it's not achieved. You cannot say, I have developed a policy, and when the internal auditor comes and you print it from your computer, it should be approved. You should prove that this policy was presented to the MENCO, was presented to the top management, was approved, and there's a signature that says it has been approved. That's how then we are doing things for the better, as I said. So we will present to you now the information that will tell you exactly which would have been audited as well, which you are comfortable with, which we would also have submitted to the National Treasury. I've got the documents here, Nelisa. I will give the secretary today before we leave the document, the hard copy PDF files that we submitted and signed off, myself, the CFO, and the DTG Corporate Management, to say, National Treasury, this is the report of the first quarter, and also the PowerPoint presentation of that document. I will leave here, which we'll be presenting next week. So that's what I mean when I say it won't be different reports, but it will be reports that you will also be comfortable that it's the report that has been tabled to National Treasury, which has gone through our internal audit processes, has been audited internally, has been also reviewed by the audit committee. The audit committee, honorable members, meet with the minister on a quarterly basis, and they give minister the state of governance in the department. And they don't mean their words when they speak to the minister. And they had just had that meeting with the minister last week. And they are also committed to say that they will assist us to ensure that our goal is to reach a clean audit. I know it's a far cry, but it's something that we would like to work towards. So I think in terms of reports by the AG and submitted reports there, they will not be different. It will be the reports that would have signed off and sent to the National Treasury, which would have been audited, that we will be submitting to this portfolio committee going forward. I think I've also apologized on delaying in terms of providing reports, but going forward we will make sure that whenever we report that there's a report, then we also submit that report, because it would have been also be a verification, means of verification that the auditor would look at when they audit. Then it also answers Honourable Member Paulson in terms of the final versions of the action plan on children and institutional framework. Those documents will be submitted to the audit committee. I am sure that colleagues have taken note of some of the comments and questions, and I will start with DG Mtenge. She will respond on issues of implementation of the turnaround strategies, the skills audit, the absenteeism rates, and other questions that she has picked up that relate to corporate management, with your permission, Chairperson. But before I do that, on the issue of the wage bill, we have submitted the wage bill to cabinet committees, and as well as to cabinet, and today it's being submitted we would be requested to go and revise and review and consult further with other ministers, like the Minister of Justice, which we have done. So today, Minister Mlewa, who is acting on minister's behalf, is presenting the wage bill to the cabinet. And I'm looking forward to it being approved, that we take it through to parliamentary processes. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, honourable members. I'll start with the skills audit. And basically, I think most of the questions, Chair, that I'm going to touch on, they basically respond to the question that says, how far are we with implementing the turnaround? For instance, what you've asked about government information, are we expecting a worse audit finding, the skills audit, the absenteeism rate. So all of those things are targets that are within the turnaround. So with regards to the turnaround sorry, with regards to e-skills audit check, what we did was first consulted the DPSA, and we, because the government uses the HR Connect system, but the DPSA then said they are willing to assist us, but unfortunately as a department we missed the cut off time, because there's a system where all departments are supposed to populate their information, and then the information is analyzed by DPSA, so they would do the skills audit for you. So we missed that cut-off date, so we could not use them to do the skills audit for us, but then they gave us the guidelines. So what we then did as a department, then we went back and said, okay, because they also discouraged us from using consultants to do e-skills audit. They said it's better when you do it internally. And you also need to take your staff on board so that people don't think that if I'm being audited, it's possible that I could be fired because I don't have the skills. So it's something that you also need to raise in the chamber. We've raised it in the chamber. We've discussed with them, and they are comfortable, and they've then requested that they want to be part of the skills audit. So what we have then done to date, as it yesterday, we're finalizing the templates that we have developed for ourselves to say, okay, now that DPSA cannot do it for us, how are we going to do it? We then look at each employee, right? We look at each employee, we look at their qualifications, we look at, like, there's different blocks. Unfortunately, this has not also been shared with management yet, because tomorrow we're finalizing it. We're having an HR workshop tomorrow, but what I can report to the members is that we, since the time that we consulted with DPSA and now, we have come up with a template that will help us to ask the relevant questions that will eventually allow us to say, okay, we have this person in this post, this is the relevant information about the person, and what is the outcome given what the person has and what the job requires. It also looks at the type of training that the person has had, you know, since joining the department. So that's what I can report on the school skills audit. And then we have also decided that we will start with the HR unit to roll out the skills audit thing, project. Then, with regards to the outcome of the turnaround, in as far as improving financial management, we think that it has yielded positive results. For instance, we can report that we've in the past year we had unauthorized expenditure. We don't have it this year. We have reduced, because remember one of the targets was to have a clean audit, but we have not been able to achieve a clean audit as part of the turnaround, but we have achieved an improved audit outcome. We have reduced our irregular expenditure from 35 million to 6 million. We acknowledge that we should not have irregular expenditure at all, but we feel that we have reduced this. We've reduced it substantively, and we feel that the turnaround did, to some extent, work. And you also will have to remember, Chair, that in this financial year, we operated with less capacity compared to the previous year. I think in terms of the staff complement, I don't remember the actual percentages, but this is the information that we prepared for the presentation of the annual report to just show that the kind of capacity that we had in the previous year was smaller, but we managed to achieve more. Well, I think we improved our performance by 6%, and that also, we say, it's one of the positives of the turnaround, because we had said with the turnaround, we also want to improve the achievement of targets. Now, we had said, Digi did allude to the fact that we are analyzing the exit interviews. It's not a perfect system. because right now the employees do, they fill out the questionnaire themselves. So it's not an interactive process. But we have that report and we'll give it to you. But what we had promised and what we are preparing is a quarterly HR report that will give you details on how many people did we appoint per quarter, how many people were promoted, how many people were disciplined, how many grievances, so that you have a feel of what is happening. So that was one of the outputs of the targets within the turnaround. We said we need to have quarterly HR reports. Those, Chair, yes, I can report that so far we have not provided quarterly HR reports, but we are working on those internally. Those are the things that we are also going to emphasize tomorrow in our workshop as HR. Then I'm not sure. Maybe did it? The yes, it has. It has been. Yes, it has been established. And also, we have even the environment has been improved in terms of cleanliness and just to improve the space. You know, compared to what you saw initially. Yes. The one challenge that we have is that in trying to reorganize the building, we have to consult with the landlord, and at some point we were stopped, you know, in the process. They said, no, we did not approve this, because Public Works had to tell the landlord that this is what the department is doing. But in terms of health and wellness and health and safety of employees, yes, we have started addressing the situation, Chairperson. By cleaning up properly, and also improve yes the carpets. The carpets we did cleaning twice already. We are having very serious. They are gone.
I'm not sure why this is a joke. Because it is not really a joke. Because we are talking about the wellness and the safety of the employees. Can we really take this seriously and not make a joke out of it? Yeah, we'll ask that procedurally. But if we all chip in, we turn this whole thing into a mockery. Can we give a chance to complete?
Then, Chair, because remember we're doing all of these things through Public Works and we get stuck, then we decided that we will do our own initiative and hire our own cleaners. So we have set aside money to appoint about 4 cleaners over and above what the landlord is providing us. Because right now they are cleaning our offices, but they are cleaning the building, but they're not cleaning the offices. And when we try to argue that, look, this is what the contract is saying, then unfortunately Public Works is not with us in that discussion. And the contract is with Public Works, not with the department. So then also with regards to getting cupboards, We are in discussions with, we're looking at different suppliers, especially correctional services, to make sure that we get furniture, additional furniture within the limited finances that we have. Number of employees, right? That information, I don't have it offhand now because it's part of the annual report, but I can access it in my computer. But it's part of the HR report that is in the annual report. You will see that, as I reported, when we present to you the quarter one performance for this financial year, we have reduced the vacancy rate by 1.1%. Our target was to reduce it by 2%, and we actually did achieve that target, but the problem, in terms of recruiting we did, but the problem was the resignations that we had. So we just need to strike a balance. So we are also monitoring ourselves in terms of making sure that the vacancy rate is at an acceptable level, you see. So we take it very seriously, Chair. The use of consulting. Yes, we did get that question, Chairperson. It's just that I'm not sure if CFO has that information offhand, but we did the question regarding consultants, the use of consultants and the money spent and what we were using them for. I don't have that information offhand, but I know we responded to that question recently. It was a parliamentary question, so the information is there. Then there are contractors, temporary workers, and I remember that at some point, maybe, yes, it was asked, and I don't remember last year, I think we had reported that as part of trying to improve capacity, we will use the money that is currently saved on compensation and use that to hire temporary people so that they can assist us with the urgent works. Like most of them, we've used them within supply chain. We've used them to correct asset register, which were the critical things, the pending issues. We've used them within HR. So also within an internal audit, I mean, they assisted a lot with verification of this information because it's also a laborious process, and you know that we have one person within internal audit. Then the effectiveness of the audit committee. The audit committee has, at least in this year, since it was appointed, it met 8 times. No, did you? Whereas in the past year it only met 3 times, and you will recall that it was in the AG's report. So there has been really improvement, and they've also set a standard agenda that will force us as management to report to them on certain issues, things that we were not even thinking about, you know. So it has been very effective, as DG has said. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I think I will also respond on the issue of on the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence. We have advertised for the position of the Chief Executive Officer. The Minister did report and announce during the budget vote speech that for the work of the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, we got funding from DFID, the British organization, to the tune of $1 million, which at the time was an equivalent of 8.8 million rands. So it's got a number of areas that we will spend on issues like the appointment of the CEO and the beefing up of the CEO in terms of organization, as well as areas of developing a monitoring and evaluation tool just specifically for gender-based violence. We look at the issues of reviewing and analyzing the implementation of the 365 days National Action Plan, and also developing a strategy for the next 5 years to deal with the gender-based violence. So that the Council is working on, and the Council is meeting on Friday to look at the progress in terms of what they have done around that. Minister has met as the chairperson of the council with a number of role players or stakeholders. Minister has engaged traditional leadership. Minister has engaged faith-based organizations, and they have agreed that we will roll out a campaign on the Bill of Responsibilities that was developed by the Department of Education with the view to roll out that Bill of Responsibilities to communities. And on the 18, 19 of October, or 18, 19, 20, on Friday, the Muslim community will talk to the Bill of Responsibilities within their communities. On Saturday, it will be the Jewish community, and on Sunday, it will be the Christian community. The faith-based council met, and they, together with the minister, they launched this campaign on the Bill of Responsibilities, and in November, there will be a march that will show that collaboration and working together between the faith-based organization and the National Gender-Based Violence, Council on Gender-Based Violence. So that is happening, and also Minister met with SAFA and requested them to assist and come on board. As a result, when Bafana Bafana won the match between Botswana, Minister was there. Before the kickoff, Minister read that collaboration and that pledge and that plea for the supporters of the soccer, as well as the soccer players themselves, to help us to fight the scourge on gender-based violence. So there's a lot of work that a minister has been doing, engaging with the stakeholders, especially the targeted stakeholders, to assist us to fight the scourge of GBV. And traditional leaders, more so, appealing to them to please protect, especially the elderly women in the villages that are victims of gender-based violence. We are going to, as members would know, the president is launching the Older Persons Week on the 29th of September, which starts on the 30th of September, and our contribution as a department would be a Vigela Ogogom campaign, where we will be working closely with the Department of Social Development in the Eastern Cape, to also, because Eastern Cape is where the scourge of GBV against elderly persons is happening. So we will be participating in that Older Persons Week by working together with the Eastern Cape province and engaging on the calling upon communities, because that's one thing that we feel we need to do, is to call upon communities to come on board and assist and protect women and children and the elderly persons now on the scourge against gender-based violence. The funding for the National Council on GBV remains a challenge. We have made submissions to the National Treasury, and we have been asked to submit a program, make a program submission, which would indicate how much we would need to run the programs of the council. They have not committed in terms of funding the staffing. We submitted, was it, how much was it, therefore? 63 million over a three-year MTF period, and they've come back to us to say, okay, give us a reduced submission, but just indicating what programs will this council drive. So at least we are hopeful that we will get funding through the National Treasury, though it will not be what we had asked for. We still would like the support of the Portfolio Committee in terms of us getting funding from government to fund the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence. I will ask the CFO to respond on the issue of the funding, donor funding. Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson, and the Honourable Member. As the DJ has indicated, I will comment on the donor funding. The total donor funding that was received by the department, which is audited and signed off by AG, it is 3.541 million. But I will admit that we had submitted information before which did not disclose the same amount. The reason for that is that we had incomplete information within us from the department. So the accounting officer then introduced a control that from time to time we will need to get confirmation from donors themselves that they must confirm that how much have they donated to the department. Hence then we were able to report accurately the 3.541 in the financial statement. And we are trying as a department to try and put controls in place from the programs that they must submit on a monthly basis, a register indicating how much donation was received, and on a quarterly basis. And in that control, we've also requested that even if they have not received in terms of nil donations, they must still submit to the DDG corporate management, and then there will be a consolidated report on a quarterly basis, monthly basis, building into quarterly basis, because it also helps us in compiling financial statements, because sometimes AG finds us to have material misstatements in the financial statements due to information that we're not getting as a department, which we are working on as a department as a whole. With the DG's permission and the chairperson's permission, if maybe the honorable member, Lamola, can help us with the information that he has on certain donor funding that we have not reflected, so that we can then go back and check for transparency, that what is it that we've missed out, and we then disclose everything that we need to disclose. And then another second question that was relating to finances was the wedge budget and expenditure. That does not separate, that includes the transfer to the CGE. The reason, ma'am, we are combining the two is that in the ENE chapter, estimated national expenditure, they are combined. They never separated. So we thought that we should then combine them. But normally in other documents, we would make a note to say so much is for CGE. And in this one, we missed it. We're sorry. We will do it in future. But the total budget for wedge is 80,172,000. Included in that is the CGE transfer of 59,073,000. The total expenditure was 77,572 minus the 59,073. So the true state of the budget finances of wedge is 21,099, and then the expenditure is 18,499. And then another one was on disability. That why is disability not spending so much on their budget? I'm not sure whether I got the question correct, but if we look at slide 14 on disability, the total allocation for disability for the year was 15,431 before the AENE process where we get additional funding. Now the expenditure that is shown, it's showing as if it's little, it is per quarter. For the first quarter, when you look at the total expenditure, total budget and the total expenditure for the quarter, then it gives us that variance as if it's, they are not spending. But by the time it was quarter four, by the time end of the financial year, they had spent 13 million against a budget of 15,719, which is 83% of the budget. I hope I've covered everything on finance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
not thinking
the whole team.
No.
Can you please give them an opportunity to respond to all the questions? Then you can come back with a follow-up, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will ask Deputy Tony to respond. There's questions relating to universal access strategy that were asked by Chair in terms of when are we finalizing this. There's a question relating to the national disability policy. When are we finalizing it? There's a question relating to the implementation on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, and not just making statements in New York, but when do we implement? And there's also a question on the M&E instruments and indicators on the child's responsibilities, or CRR, and others that you may have picked up, DDG. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. There was a question on disability policy, Chair, and linked to the universal access. We have made a confirmation with UNDP in terms of support in us implementing the development of the disability policy through to the bill. And in terms of us making sure that this target will be met. We have then looked at the process and we have learned from some of the pitfalls that when the wage bill was being developed and what are the things that were outstanding there, and that we had then decided that we'll go through the re-up process in making sure that we've done the good work. So we are going to make sure that the universal access would be integrated into the disability policy, so that by the time we advance the policy to a bill, everything has been embraced within the policy. So between now, Chair, and the end of this financial year, we're hoping that at least the cabinet and through the process of Parliament would have agreed or approved the draft disability national disability policy as it stands. So that's our target now. So at least we make sure that all of the elements that needs to be included in terms of us developing the policy are included, and also making sure that because the current national integrated strategy is the gaps that we have seen from the current white paper would have been included in the national disability policy at the draft one that would have seen that by the end of this financial year would have. And I've said, the CFO has spoken in terms of the funding, and those all of those would have to be, because part of the processes in terms of consultation, we would need to beef up the capacity in order for us to meet our target with regards to the policy. Then the next one, Chair, is that, yes, Chair, it is true that that we're not just going to the UN with regards to making statements. We're sharing information, we're learning from other countries, you know, and one of the things that we have learned in the past COSP is the fact that with regards to the abuse of disabled people with intellectual disabilities or with mental disabilities, Israel and other countries are advancing in making the gains in that area. And therefore, when we came back, we have worked with police, the Honorable, the Chairperson and Honorable Members would recall that we had a case in Soweto where the child, the disabled young woman was raped, and then it went into the website or the sites, the social networks. And these are some of the things that the police could not convict on the case because the information that was presented was not so conclusive. So we're trying to address those things, which are the things that we're learning in our interaction at an international level. And yes, Trey, I think you are right to say that what are the things that we are doing in terms of making sure that when we come back, we address those things. And in this regard, we have a model that we're working with other organizations and universities in South Africa that would help us to strengthen the police. We, in the last Child Protection Week, we had engaged the police, the NPA, the Justice Cluster, parents of disabled children, you know, so that they understand how to assist in such situation. The next one, Chair, is the issue around the child-friendly communities. You would recall, Chair, this comes from a cry that children, especially there was a case in Shoshanguve where the child was dismembered in terms of the violence that was meted to this child that was staying in Shoshanguve. And Minister went out into a campaign that we must have safe parks. So in that process of us doing, in making that kind of intervention, we worked therefore with Save the Children, and they came up with a model that we call child-friendly cities or communities. And this is a model that we're trying to develop and make sure that we can share, work with municipalities, so that instead of us just responding to a park, which is what we've done before, in terms of KZN, Shoshanguve, and other areas, but we have now said, what is the international best model in dealing with safer communities? And that's a process that we're in. We're moving slightly slower in this regard, Chair, but we're hoping that at least we will be able to present some results during this financial year with regards to child-friendly cities. So it is a model that we would want to make sure that municipalities are able to take it up. And then the, let's see, I've spoken about disability policy. Outcomes on campaigns, Chair, that what we have done now, part of the issue that is strengthening the way that we're supposed to report is that because I think Didi Mtlange has spoken about the way that we are approaching our performance reporting. When we talk about campaign, we need to provide a description, because AG needs a description in terms of saying, what do you mean when you say your target is a social campaign in these areas? And therefore, we have to explain that in the APP that we present to the AG, so that at least as we report, there is no contradiction in terms of, as you pick it up, that you had said your performance indicator is this, and now when you report, you're reporting differently, so that we're able to say, no, that's what we mean by a campaign. But if we don't have those descriptions, then we're going to report in a way that is contradicting what we thought we were going to do. So we're doing that. For instance, when we talk about the campaign, we're talking about the branding, you know, that we are going to have in highlighting what that campaign is all about. We're talking about the messages that we're supposed to have in addressing that issue. And the members would recall that we're not the ones that are implementing, but we're influencing, for instance, if we talk about the Education for All Children campaign, access to education for all, we're not as the one that are doing that, but we work with all, we coordinate all of the departments that are involved in making sure that that particular campaign is done. So that's where we are, Chair, with regards to this. And when we talk about then what we're doing now, we have worked with the Department of Basic Education in making sure that the issue around access to education for all is coordinated in the districts, and we meet with the district concerned, and then we identify a specific school, and all of the schools would be there in order for us to make sure that the parents, the children, the teachers are taking up issues of access very seriously. So that's currently what we're doing. The current situation with regards to disability statistics, and I'm coming to what Honorable Lamola was talking about in terms of the numbers that we afflict there. These are the numbers that we're getting from the reports that we get from the Department of Basic Education. And since the results of census, we have realized that there has not been a capturing of children, you know, especially from 0 to 4, and we're working with states SA so that at least the numbers are quite accurate with when it comes to disability. And there's a work that has been done in collaboration with that SA. More specifically, when it comes to children, We have a program with Steps SA that we've started, that we've signed a service level agreement with Steps SA that would begin to make sure that we're able to aggregate the number of children that we're talking about. And we have started putting clearer indicators. We are beginning to have a database, and in the past week we had met and populated the database with all of the departments that are involved in making sure that they would be the one that implements that. You know, we just facilitate and coordinate that departments are able to give us, because when we won the report, I think there were some arguments in the critical issues that were raised in the status report of children in South Africa, which is the one that DG was talking about, that we're not in contradiction or we're not in debate in terms of what are those figures all about, but the figures are quite accurate because the indicators have been discussed and agreed that when you talk about children that are orphaned, you know, this is what we're talking about. So we're hoping that we'll improve that share, and we'll share that, as DJ has promised, in terms of knowing what this database looks like, so that at least we've got a picture. When we come and report here, you already have a picture of what this database is all about. Ford Foundation, we were not able to get money from Ford Foundation, and we have since approached the UNDP, and UNDP has come on board, and I'm sure when CFO is reporting on what monies have come in terms of us getting money from donors, what has been committed, that will be done at that stage. This one.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Before I give to DDG, Mujaji, on the issue of awareness on the National Plan of Action for Children, and also I think I'll link it to the outcomes of the machinery. It's the fact that the machineries are a space where we engage with colleagues both in the provinces and in the national departments that are dealing with our sectors. For instance, the National Plan of Action for Children was presented at a recent machinery that was held for children, right? Which then was given to colleagues, presented to colleagues at the machinery. That's one way of raising awareness about the National Plan of Action for Children. And also it is expected that the outcome of the machinery is that we would engage with colleagues at provincial level, who are also at local government level, because there were councillors, there were mayors there for some municipalities, and also at the national department level, who are dealing with our sectors. So perhaps Kemujaj could also elaborate on the outcomes of the machinery. But for instance, before we embarked upon the Women's Month, we engaged the women's machinery, and we presented to them the concept document for the Women's Month and the plan of action that the department was proposing for issues to be raised and programs to be implemented during the Women's Month, but also calling upon them to tell us what is it that they are planning to do in their respective departments and respective provinces, so that we have a consolidated plan of action that will be submitted to the GCIS for communication purposes. So I think we also are in the process of then raising awareness further around the National Plan of Action for Children, which brings me to also the question of what are we doing about incomplete projects, completion of outstanding performance indicators. Members would be aware that this is supposed to be a five-year strategy. So this is for the 2012-2013, so the same indicators would remain until the end of the financial year. So the projects that we had planned to do in this year that were not completed would fall over to the next year, which is the one that we are talking about, because they would still be in the same key performance indicator. You still have the same key performance indicator under the same output until the end of this
strategic MTFF, which ends in the on the 31st of March 2014. I just thought I need to talk about that whilst you were looking at other things that you wanted to respond to. Do you have anything else?
Thanks, CJ. Just to say that currently we are discussing or consulting with municipalities and provinces with regards to the strategies that we have, the MNE strategy, the advocacy strategy, the NPAC, which is the National Plan of Action for Children. These are the documents that are consulted with the provinces when with municipalities as we speak.
Did you judge?
Thanks, TJ. Thanks, Chair. I'll start with the question on the database. We will make the database available. TJ, I think we'll send it with a pack that is coming of documents that we should provide to the members. We have not as yet followed up on that because this is the recent database that we produced last year. And we should be able to follow up maybe every 2 years, just to check the fluctuation, whether women are dropping off in those industries. In terms of the role of the department in the TechnoGirl, what we do is we provide access through engaging with our sister departments in terms of opening their doors to take in girls during school holidays. Minister does do time and again write letters to departments to ask them to allow young women to enter into those fields so that they have experience. This also includes the private sector. For example, Transnet has taken a number of girls to expose them to the areas of science, technology, engineering, and maths fields that are in those sectors. And we have just recently launched the alumni, which is a process of ensuring that the young girls who are in schools who take the science, technology, engineering related and math subject don't fall off the cracks, but they continue in terms of tertiary institutions as well as absorption into the labor market. The question that was asked about us saying we're doing well in terms of reaching out to departments and yet the departments are not yet mainstreaming. I guess the response relates to the fact that we targeted to consult with them, and that's what we have done. Of course, the challenge remains that the departments will then mainstream the relevant policies into their programs. With regards to projects that are done in provinces, we have done quite a few number of provinces active projects in provinces. For example, in Limpopo, we have worked with the lady who produced Moringa in terms of exposing them to trade markets. We have also linked one woman who is involved in beadwork and traditional attire from the Eastern Cape in terms of engaging with other countries to open up trade market opportunities. In terms of the successes of the campaign, what we normally do, we'll write reports after that, after we have events, in terms of reporting of the number of people who attended and the issues that were presented at those campaigns, as well as how we have managed to bring a multifaceted approach in terms of bringing on board other departments like the social development, the health department to be part of those campaigns so that we give members of the community comprehensive information. We will also go with the DTI, for example. So the impact in terms of that coverage would then be captured in a report. In terms of targets that have not been achieved, for example, with the new growth path and the job fund, we are engaging with the Economic Development Department in order for us to get data disaggregated information. Because you'll recall when the job fund started and we had this KPI in the plan, they had not even started advertising to take applications for job fund, and we have not done well in terms of following up in terms of those applications, whether how many women applied and how many were not successful. And hence, on the advice of minister, was that we should also engage the PICC where then there's presidential reports on these projects. The one activity that we did not perform well was on the impact, where we were supposed to do economic women empowerment, economic empowerment, infrastructure. We have not planned to do that this year, except for the economic empowerment. It's there in our KPI as part of status report. So at the moment, we have developed an M&E tool that we were engaging with economic sectors. For example, there was a meeting recently this week with the economic sectors. That is the departments that are in the economic cluster, in terms of the kind of indicators we would request from them when we compile the report on the economic women economic empowerment. In terms of taking forward the gender audit exercise that we had the previous financial year, we have developed what we call a GPAT, which is a gender performance assessment tool, which would assist us with, I'm not sure if you recall, we had a turnaround strategy, had those yellow, red, and green kind of indicators of whether departments are moving. So with the gender performance assessment tool, it will start with structural arrangement. It will then talk to programs that the provinces or departments, whether in the social or economic, what programs do they have for women, budget allocations. So it will be a comprehensive tool that follows through this gender audit. The performance indicator for GPV, I had thought it was reported in as part of program one the last time, although I know that often it appears as part of wage, but it's under program one. It is there in the PowerPoint presentation here. Yeah, it is there. We had a number of indicators there, which involved, for example, the establishment of the council, which was done and launched and inaugurated. The one that we did not achieve was on the establishment of provincial council, and that we could not facilitate because we needed to first establish the national council. The other performance indicator was provide secretarial service to the council, which we have done. And we also had to engage in a number of programs relating to implementation of the 365 days plan of action. And the main things that we did there was the interim council then looked at the 365 days plan of action, which was developed in 2007, as well as convening the gender-based violence summit in November last year, just before 16 days. On the issue of the donor fund figure that is repeated, it's supposed to be one figure because that's where we're integrating the strategies, and we used one consultant for the three sectors for the M&E. So it should be one figure. It shouldn't appear twice. We acknowledge that we have misaligned the presentation of KPIs. For example, the sanitary dignity project, it was in the children, but the fact that we do work together as a team, sometimes you report on what you have done as a team, even though it's not in the APP. I think that's how it came about. We shouldn't have reported, but for example, we have women being involved as well, you know, looking at the women, the economic empowerment opportunity that comes with production of sanitary towels. But by right, in the APP, it should be reported where it appears, even though we would have been involved as the wage branch. And hence, we have those reporting on it because we have done some work on it, and yet it wasn't part of the approved APP.
identity. And then on the access to employment for people with disabilities,
As members would know, government has targeted 2%, especially employment opportunities within government, and we really are struggling to reach the 2%. What Minister has recommended to the President when she met with the President and the Deputy Minister was that we would like to have this as a KPA in the performance contracts of the DGs, so that they are held accountable if they don't have the figure of 2% employment of people with disabilities within their national departments. So it's a struggle, but we're trying to achieve it. I mean, we're even surpassed by private sector in terms of employment of people with disabilities, in terms of percentages. But also in within the department, when we've got the disability, but conduct of disability organizations, and when we have and get employment opportunities, we post them there so that people can be able to access those job opportunities and bring in, submit their applications. But I must say that it's one thing that we acknowledge, it's a challenge, and that we need to do something about it. We're also even looking at deploying somebody within the department to focus solely on this transformation aspect of ensuring that we people with disability do access employment opportunities, especially starting within government. There's a study that was done by the Department of Social Development around children with disabilities. Perhaps we could ask for that study to be the outcome of that report, which was tabled to cabinet, to be made available so that we can supply members with that, because it gives a picture of what's happening with people with children with disability and how a lot of them don't access education. But we will ask the Department of Social Development to provide us with a copy of that study. It was presented to the social cluster, but it was also presented to cabinet. So there is a study on that was done on the access for children with disability to education and other facilities. Chairperson, I think I will. We have covered, or we agree, Honourable Connie. Sorry, but I'm using the first name. We agree that. We have dealt away with partially achieved now. It's either it's achieved or not achieved. Mm-hmm. Even the AG has encouraged us to do away with partially achieved. They don't accept partially achieved. Mm-hmm. Honourable Ketana, we will submit these copies of these MOUs that we have with departments. And I know that members said that they've been asking for these documents. But that's how we encourage a department to ensure that they mainstream and their policies. But we've also, which will be part of the documents that are coming through, we've also dealt and developed a gender responsive budgeting framework that we piloted in 4 departments, and only one of those 4 departments came out as at least meeting the framework on gender responsive budgeting. The other 3 were by no means effecting gender responsive budgeting in their budgets. So we've got a report there, and that will make available to members, but we want to cascade that to all the departments so that starting with allocating budgets, they are sensitized on ensuring that they cater for women. But we're also saying not just gender responsive, but also budgets being responsive to people with disabilities. So we have consolidated that. Whilst we started with gender-responsive budgets, we're looking at how to take that to enforcing or ensuring that departments are also responsive on the needs of to the needs of people with disabilities when they do their budget allocations. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that covers for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I would say the department didn't give me an answer where I've asked the department how much did they spend for campaigns in which campaigns. That is the first one. Secondly, Jefferson.
This is a new one.
It's a follow-up because I was not answered. And then the other follow-up, because I've got a new question, but I'll come from second. I understand what the DG is elaborating to us in terms of giving us a verbal report about the skill audit and whatever, but it doesn't address my argument. My argument, Chairperson, is based on what the committee have requested the department to provide a detailed report, not telling us about the less stuff. The department must give us, and they must share with us, what was the problem, what had happened, because it's about 8 months down the line. We are still waiting for their report. And their report, it was based on the challenges which were encountered by the department last year. The DG must give us the report, which highlights about the HR report, where it will also tell us about recruitment plan, not less than 7, whatever. Where it will address the SEM, where they will tell us about the risk management plan, management. We want that information because that's what has made the department to collapse last year. Firstly, Chairperson, I don't want to come up with a question, I'll come up for the second time.
It's a new question.
Yeah, it's a new question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to do a quick couple of follow-up questions. I recognize the DG's answer. Thank you very much about the MOUs, but if we can have a time frame by when we can have that. And then secondly, Chairperson, I don't think I've got a clear answer as to whether why the information that was submitted to us twice had changed. I don't think we've got a clear answer. Because to bring it down to the simple, the crux of the matter is the first document in quarter one had achieved 12 targets. When it was submitted the second time, it only had achieved 10 targets. In quarter four, it had achieved 16 targets, and when it was resubmitted, it only achieved 13 targets, and so it either went up or down. And the fact of the matter is, submitting information to Parliament which is not correct can lead to the suggestion that it's deliberately done so, and when you deliberately submit information that's correct, it can be considered that you are deliberately misleading Parliament, and that is a serious offence. And therefore, we must leave here today and ask one another whether this was a mistake or whether it was deliberately done so, because in some cases, you had instead in quarter three, you had achieved 10 targets, but now in the next submission of the documents, you had achieved 13 targets. It's inflation. These are historical documents, in my sense, which cannot change. Secondly, Chairperson, issues of the skills audit, it's more complex than just saying we are now busy with the skills audit. I joined this committee in June of 2012. We were then talking about the skills audit. I'm now looking at a document which says the minister indicated that his turnaround strategy was signed off in October 2012, and 3 million rand was set aside for reviewing the strategy of the HR structure. That is now almost a year down the line. And without visionary skills, without the best skills, without appropriately skilled individuals, the turnaround strategy cannot move. And therefore, I think also with the skills audit, we need a time frame, because otherwise the election will come and there'll still be no skills audit. Also, I don't think we've got a percentage of the vacancies. I think it's now 1%, but I think we need to have concrete numbers, because we don't have a number of how many staff, so we don't have a number of how many vacant people. Also, if we can have a copy of the retention strategy that's been mentioned. I'm not going to go into the Fluxman report, Chairperson. It's a vloekwoord, as we say in Afrikaans. But, you know, also I think we've been asking for a long time what has happened to those people who were fingered in or who were accused in the Flaxman report. For example, that former DG who had left to go and work somewhere else. Are those people not going to be held accountable for what they did? And I think we need to get an update on that. And lastly, linking to what the Honourable Mosimane asked about events, outcomes and price tags, on the 24th of August, the Honourable Minister had a men's rally in Johannesburg. And I believe it was not very well attended. If we can just find out the price tag of that event and whether the department believes that it actually achieved its outcome. And lastly, before I give to other people, the website, what happened? Because your website was down, your website was not working for a very long time, and it was only until somebody rose to the podium at Women's Day and said they cannot access information on your website that the website went down. Mm. Is it now being revamped? Are you fixing the website? And also, I just wanted to say on smart targets, I just wanted to say I wish, you know, some of these targets, if you look at one of the targets here, it says, well, most of the targets, you know, the new Minister of Communications came to the department and he said he's committed to working, he wants to deliver, and he said the time frame is short, but he gave us a document which says broadband policy, he will deliver by end November, and he says hold me to account. Mm-hmm. And he says develop the spectrum policy, I'll develop it by March 2014. Mm-hmm. And he says I'll build so many new post offices by this time. Mm-hmm. And it's a short document, but it's got time frames. Mm-hmm. And he says hold me to account. And I think really if we could have something like this which outlines the priorities of this department till the next election with time frames, then it will be much better. It's a short document, this, but it outlines just the things that have not been done and the things that will be done till the elections with time frames. And that will really assist this department, chairperson, to hold this department to account. I would really just plead, if that's my final shot today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm still on the issue still of the donor funding. I just want to know from the department, why is the department relying on information which they're still going to get from outside? Why not? I really don't understand. I think Namula once asked about this some time ago, and we still don't get the right answer for this. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, no, I can't. Thank you very much. I also want to reiterate the question, what is that, the donor funding. Because CFO, you have to be confident on the money that you have received. You should not rely on us giving you the information that we have, that there's these allegations or rumors that you received this donor funding. I think you have to be confident that yes, in this department we have received 3 million from the donors. It must end there. And the other issue, surely Chairperson, when we do the second round to visit the offices of the department, we'll get the improvement. We'll get the improvement. Yeah, I think you're committing yourself that at least there's progress with regard to the cleanliness in your offices. And my question is that why is the Deputy Minister not accommodated in the very same department? Because it was difficult for us to visit the offices of the DM because we don't know where he's accommodated. The other issue, which is a follow-up, is the... what was that? Oh, when we had a workshop in Pretoria with the department, we had some documents that were presented. I think that was the mainstreaming, the monitoring and the evaluation strategy, and you gave us a very big document. I'm not quite sure mainstreaming and evaluation and your monitoring and evaluation and your mainstreaming strategies. Surely these are the documents that you are referring to now. And I'm not quite sure whether those documents were still in a draft form or they were completed and finalized. Because when you check also the document that you are presenting today on your overall achievement, you still indicate that these are still draft. You have achieved, you have managed to achieve to compile a draft monitoring and evaluation
a strategy or whatever document. So I just wanted clarity whether this document, as you're speaking, are they final? And the document that we had in that workshop, was it a draft or a final document? Thank you very much. Oh, the one, Chairperson, the last one. I asked on the vacancy rate, but you're broad when responding to that question, DDG. I want you to explain in real terms what is the vacancy rate in your department and how many have you employed as you're speaking. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to reiterate the issue of the donors. Actually, maybe to register my disappointment that, you know, internally, it seems the department does not have internal control, financial control, because I don't understand how can information be so haphazard and everywhere. I mean, it started with 7.8 as the figure, and then eventually 1.2. and now 3.5, you wonder how much more is lacking or how much more is more, you know. So I think I don't know, financial management and all that, there's control, there's all that. DG, I think you need to make sure that the finance department really, I don't know how you work, does it mean a brand will receive donation without the finance people knowing, and at times they don't report, some report. I think it's too much of that. I think all the donations should come through, should go to the branch through the finance, something like that, so that the finance can note everything, and the finance will be able to hold the branches accountable to say, I gave you this from this company, what did you do? They want the report. Then it will to be streamlined, actually. And then the issue of child-friendly cities. You know, yesterday when I read the Star, if you all read the Star, the front page, I felt so weak. I felt so weak and sick to say, what is happening to our children in South Africa? I mean, what are we becoming as a country? Where children are just slain, like, you know, we are killing butterflies and slain with shoelaces and all that. So please, when you work on this child-friendly cities, as I say, child-friendly townships, because that's where I see all these problems, you know, cropping up. We cannot have our kids just playing around the yard anymore. They just disappear with strangers and all that. So if you do that policy, please integrate something within the city, the townships, if there's anything of that nature that you can do for us. And then CFO, when I was speaking to this, actually you highlighted a very important point. You are so disturbing, I mean, when you look at the first quarter, I mean, according to the PFMA, we need to spend at least a quarter of our budget, 25%. A quarter of our budget per quarter. But, I mean, yes, clearly it was not. As much as you can see, there's a spending a trend. But it means here we did not actually do the job. Because if I remember well, last minute spending, they actually don't approve it. Am I right? They don't like last minute spending. So I heard what you said. But if we, at the last moment, try to push the budget as much as we can, it's actually unacceptable. My last point, Chairperson, without wasting any time, the 10.7 million over expenditure. I don't know if you can explain that, where you have 13 for the children's rights and responsibilities. You had 13.5 million, but you ended up spending 24.2. If you can tell us about, now I'm talking about, you know, the first presentation, the document and this one, they differ. And when you read them comparatively, you find these discrepancies, you know. You'll explain it when you get to the question. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Just a general comment on what the previous member just said on children disappearing, the scourge of violence against women. There was a program that we started in Port Elizabeth, and it was really a great success. The department alone will never
as I sat here this morning, I realized again this is a huge task. And they are not really making use, thorough use of the line of sister departments up till now. That was something that I really experienced throughout the 5 years that is ending now within a couple of months' time. But involving communities, make it a community-based thing, twining with communities, twining with churches, twining with political parties, because this really goes beyond political issues and beyond religion and beyond communities, and have a holistic approach to a solution for the scourge of violence against women and for this murders of our children will definitely solve. People turned up here in their hundreds, and they have now alerted us to get all political parties to work in a holistic manner so that we can solve this problem. And this is where departments need to buy in. Just a comment. I want to know the impact. What impact had the Fluxman report on this department's performance? Because it was mostly the top structural people that was dismissed out of the department. And on a previous occasion, I also asked, who was the referee and who was the player in hearing these disciplinary cases of this department? Because that is still a worrying factor to me. You've asked it, Chair, I've asked it, and I do not know that we had a clear answer on this. If there is no clear answer, we must be honest, like the Honorable President, which I will never forget in my lifetime, said honorably, clearly, Honorable Member, I do not have a clear answer on the Narcotics Bureau question that I asked in Parliament. So I would love a clear answer on this one. And then I would love to know, who does the skills audit for the senior personnel? For the DGs, deputy DGs, who does the skills audit for that? Are they skilled enough for their positions? I presume so, because they are in those positions, but I'd still love to have an answer from them. And then my last one was, I was not clearly answered on consultants, because my question went on, for what period were these temps, no, not consultants, on temps in the department, or temps that were appointed in the department. I was not told for what period, we were not told for what period they were used, and the total cost for these teams and where the money came from, because we were already battling with a budget that could not be stretched any further. So how was that done? I'll stop there for the meantime. Website was on my list, but website was discussed. And I would also like to know if it's still up and running, because people on the outside, communities, need to have access to this department's working. They are entitled to, according to the Act of... what is the Act? Info to information. So they need it to be off and running. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. The first one, the one on cleaning, I know you're promising that your premises are now clean, tidy, and I hope you won't be disappointed, because maybe you don't know the expectation from the society about women. We naturally expect women to be tidy people, unlike men, if you go like to hostels. But I'm just saying this because, to be honest, it goes through my mind that I wish the day we got to oversight, the expectation from women of tidiness, the dust that was full there, the things that were thrown around, unlike what the society expects from women. I mean, women are supposed to be cut out such that naturally they are tidy. I mean, we are even told, look, you've got a house, but if you don't have a woman, the touch of a woman, it will never be really clean and nice. So there's so much high expectation as far as cleanliness is concerned from women than other gender.
And so I've just said to have emphasized this point because, to be honest, if we do oversight and we find again what we found before, I can tell you sparks are going to fly this time. The second point, just when you are speaking about the interdepartmental, somebody mentioning monitoring and evaluation, you know, I started with this committee, and when we started and we raised the issue of finances, we were told, by the way, our core function is to make sure that the other departments implement issues of women, children, and disability. And because that is the case, that is where your focus is. Now, and that was 2009, if after, say, 4 or 5 years, we still think success is just submitting and getting reports, I think we are by far past that stage. At this stage, we should really be monitoring content and checking whether things are implemented and reporting whether we are successful. Take mining, for example. Whether in mining, there's economic empowerment for women, there's employment equity for women, and we should be reporting about those content. If they are not happening, then we are not successful. I don't think for the 5 years we can still be on our performance management, measuring ourselves whether we succeed or fail based on submissions of papers. I think we should really be in there and doing the real implementation of policies. So I'm still, to be honest, not happy with that key performance indicator, because for me, you can't just say you are achieving simply because you have submitted the request for report and simply because you've received report. It depends on the content, what the report says. Then so I'd like to hear your comment.
Whether you agree with me or not.
Thank you, Honorable Kekana. You know, those are again, you know, a basket full of questions, because some of them they were not responded to, and I would really plead with the department to respond to the questions, and where they can, where they can't, they must actually indicate to us, because we are not going to sit here the whole day repeating the same questions. However, I want to say to the department, we are not going to deal with the flatman's report here. We are not dealing with the flatman's, and we should really avoid referring to the flatman's report, which we are still awaiting. However, we should also, I think we should make a follow-up, because we have since been told that it is with the PSC, you know, the Public Service Commission. So let us not mix issues here, because we won't finish this meeting. Let us avoid getting into the flatman's report, which we really want to deal with before the end of this term, fourth term, because we are not going to leave it to the fifth, you know, to the fifth parliament. So can we then go into responding to the follow-up questions, sir? Oh. Honourable Ngumalo, where you sit? Okay, wonderful. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Department. My problem is that the Department, they don't give us their program, because there are so many things. There are so many beautiful things that are happening in the Department. But you don't forward us with your programs, because we want to be part of members of Parliament. We want to be part of your programs. Like, there's something that is happening in Transvaal. There are members who stay in Transvaal. There are members who stay in Western Cape. They want to be part of all your programs. If you can just, maybe you plan your program. You don't wake up in the morning and just go and do something. You plan, just forward something to the secretary of the committee. He'll make sure that he emails that program to us, and you will be part. Because we don't want to come here and be a praise singers for the department, because you know what is happening and we can't come here and say, you know, the department, because we're not part of that program. I've been listening to the minister on Saturday when she spoke in the, I was so excited to say Viva. But I said to myself, if I know about that thing, I was going to be there, you know. There are so many things that are happening, like the case of Toshanguve, you know. We know that, you know what, the deputy minister and the minister, we always saw something that is happening, like on TV or on papers, but you want to own that program as members of this committee, because we want to, we don't want to come here and say, do you know the department, Viva department, the department this and that and that. We want to be part of the, we don't want to come here and maybe fight always with the department about there's no consistency in this and that. We want to, just to make sure that we tell the people and tell the community what is happening in this department, that we are part of that department. In your turnaround strategy, we'll receive report of good things that are happening in the department. We'll receive a report before the problem happens. We'll receive the let's say the invite as members of this parliament. You know, I heard that you say you provide us with the information. We want to be provided with the information. Thank you, Chairperson.
Oh, thanks very much. You know, Chairperson, in my constituency, the department is with me. I had two events in my constituency, and the department was part of those events. There's a woman who's very active in the wage program, Usme Rimononela. She was part of my two programs, and fortunately she was sharing the information with women around my constituency and the province. And my last comment is on the issue of the consultant. I heard the DG saying that you are going to give us a package of all the consultants that you are using, because we have asked this issue in Pretoria when they were presenting this framework, and we have asked as this committee that, you know, these documents are so good. We are asking ourselves whether they've been done by the staff inside, or whether you've appointed a consultant to do this, to compile the documents. Mm. And the answer from the officials said that no, it's us. Mm. The documents belong to us. But today, we've got a proof that these documents are compiled by the consultant. Mm. And I think in your report that you're going to give to the committee, it must be clear. You must indicate that we have appointed a consultant to do this framework, or to do this, compile this report, and this is the amount paid to that consultant, just to do the work. Because we've got officials in the department. What is the role of the officials if we appoint consultants?
Thank you. I'm sure that will be my last question for the day. The department, the child-friendly cities model is what we had in the time of the office on the rights of the child and the inception of this department. So it's not new to us. How many cities was it rolled out at this moment? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I think Honourable Fana Members requested us for time frame, and I thought that at the just before we end, I would allude to what we agree that we will be providing members with, and perhaps negotiate the time frame. If you could allow me then, Chairperson, to do that. What I've picked up in terms of what we need and what we should commit to provide the portfolio committee with are the following. The quarterly HR report,
That report will include the report on the staff, the report on the vacancies, the report on the resignations. So it will be a comprehensive HR report that we must present to the committee on a quarterly basis. Quarterly reports then, as I had indicated, are submitted at least no later than 60 days after the end of that quarter. So that is the time frame of the National Treasurer, which I propose that we also stick to, because we would have had it audited and presented to our auditors and then submitted to National Treasury through the ministry. So that's what we do. It has to be a submission to the minister via the deputy minister to say this is the quarterly report that we are tabling or submitting to National Treasury. It's an HR report, Chair and members. I was just saying from the questions that were raised, it should also include the staffing in terms of how many staff do we have in what program, what vacancies do we have, what positions are vacant in terms of the vacancies themselves, not just the percentages, but which posts are vacant, funded posts are vacant, and perhaps the projected timelines in terms of completing those vacancies. That's what disciplinary actions we've had in that particular quarter, which is what had been referred to by DC Chimpe. That's what I am picking up as something that we need to provide the portfolio committee with. The second one, Honorable Lamula, is the response on consultants and temporary workers. We have indicated that we have had a parliamentary question that was asking for exactly that for that information. What consultants we have used, for what reasons, and the amount that has been spent. So we will provide you with a copy of the response that has been also approved by the minister. Yeah, I don't know whether you did. I don't know who asked it. But I know that somebody asked, there was a parliamentary question on that. There also a question on temporary workers, because I've seen the response. What temporary workers we appointed and what for. So I will package that then and submit here as a question from, because sometimes it's difficult for us to respond now. We've got to gather the information. So that information was asked and it was responded to, but I'm sure it's on its way. But we will supply it through the Office of the Chairperson. Also, the things that we need to also confirm are details on the donors. I think honourable members will then, as they know, we joined at the end of the financial year. So we are bringing in and consolidating controls, honourable Moore. The CFO is joined in May this financial year. But the information is for the past financial year. So you have to source the information. And she did not find the information in her office when she got there. So we had to look for the information. As you know, there was, I think, a seconded CFO before she joined in. But we are controlling, we are implementing those controls. And I then said to Chairperson, to the CFO, let me write to the donors. We know that these are the development funders that we get donations from. We've got UNICEF, we've got UNFPA, we've got UNDP, you've got different, let's write to them. So that, because they do have their records, to tell us what is it that they've provided us and what was it for, in line with what the question. Because I think we must admit we responded hastily before. But, and that was also part of the audit, because the Auditor General wanted to have that information. So the information that we are giving you now is an audited information, which was presented to the Auditor General, which they go through and audited. So at least what we have now for you is an audited information. We would not be able to avoid a situation where a person, a DDG, engages with a funder. But what we are insisting upon is that I then be the person who signs that agreement. So that the DDG is not going to sign the agreement, it's signed by me, which is what we did with this current defeat information, the latest funding that we got from Britain. I signed with the funders and then give a copy, signed copy to the CFO, so that the CFO then can monitor. And remember, the funding doesn't come to us, especially the UN funders. They keep the funds. And as and when we get services from them, we procure services, we use government procurement processes, and then they pay, they effect the payment. But we have to reflect it as other donor funding that we received, underfunding that we received outside of the National Treasury funding.
Intervention there, yes, by Member Lamorte.
It is a follow-up. I understand completely what the DG is trying to tell us, especially with the CFO that came in May. Okay? And I remember that she was not even supposed to be there in that meeting, and she was there. Remember? And she can be very honest about that. But we are in a very fortunate position today. Because the acting DG that were there easier to bring. So she can tell us. She ought to tell us. If you on top of your department, and if you actually have the best interest of your department at heart, then you will be able to tell us what went wrong and who were the judges. Why must all this trouble at this time consuming be taken up? Something else could have been done. Why must they now start all anew to see who the donors were? From the beginning, one ought to make a list of all your donors that you donate, because you need to follow up. You even need to send a thank you letter to them, as simple as that. So how come that the list of the donors were not there? And how come that it cannot be accounted for?
Okay.
Can the Honorable DG, Acting DG, then for that ticket perhaps? Intermediate and tell us.
Okay, I think this is one of the information that we are looking forward to getting. Like you're saying, why must we sit here and waste the whole time? Because I think really now it's going for one, and we are not going to be able to get that information now. Can we then say then it's part of the package? Part of the package that is going to be submitted, and also the time frames that were also requested by Honourable Fanamerva. I think please don't take more than 1 minute.
Chairperson, I just wanted to maybe make a suggestion. Maybe they could compile a short report for us with the outstanding questions and the time frames, and then it can be sent to us by next week.
Yeah.
I'm just making an intervention in that regard because I know time's running out and there was quite a host of more questions but on specific topics. So I would propose then, if my colleagues agree, that we allow them to go back and put together that short report with the time frames to be submitted to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think there
I think here your task is being made easier to say you've got the questions that have been posed to you by members, and given the time constraint, because I think it also helps me. I'm already late for a 12:30 meeting, which is going to be of benefit to this committee. You know, we are meeting with the Auditor General, the Chairperson, who is going to give us a report on departments. So can we then end our meeting here, members, with a belief that we will get this quarterly report, the response on consultants, and the amounts, the temporary workers, and the details on donors, and the questions that you have, that have been posed by members to you. Can we agree on that?
Details of donors before the present CFO took over. We can only account for the period that they were there. But before that,
wellness. So they must, they need to be reported.
Mm.
So
we have
thank you, Chair. Yes, we have for the last financial year, 2012-2013 donors.
And I think the emphasis also is on the before the present DG took over.
Yeah.
That also should be included. Okay.
Chair, I just want to clarify also what you had indicated that questions relating to Flaxman we won't be responding to because we'll be responding to other questions.
That one is a separate issue. Because we are still awaiting the report from the Public Service Commission.
Yeah. But if I can just come in there, I can agree with what you say, but I was asking on the impact that the Flaxman report had. Surely, and I was referring to the top brand of our officials in the department being removed. Surely there was that the reason perhaps why they could not meet their targets, if I can put it in plain and simple language? Was that the reason why they underspent? What impact did the Flaxman report or the disciplinary hearing said on the department itself, not the Flaxman report now in detail. We will come to the detail, but the impact that it had on the department, surely, with having all your top structures removed, most of them, you saw when we got there how the doors were closed. There must have been consequences.
Give us that indication in your report, and we are. I think you heard from members. I think they are very much worried about, you know, the targets, the time frames. Mm-hmm. So we are agreeing here that we will get that information by next week, please.
Next
so that when we meet with you, we have that information. I think they do have those outstanding questions. Honourable members and the department, let me thank you once again for this hectic meeting. And I don't know, but let's hope that when we meet, we will be quite satisfied about the response that we are going to be getting from you. Thank you very much in the meetings ahead.
Yeah.